The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer as we wrap up this week. Glad you've joined us. We'll be with you about for about an hour today, answering questions about the Bible, from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? So if you got a question, well, we'll try to give you the best biblical answer we can. That number to call, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call, and we'll get to your question today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker here on the weekends, we have with us Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad is a accomplished lawyer who has helped many, many Christians across America, especially in this forced COVID vaccination, as well as many other things as far as government shutting down churches because of restrictions and all these things. Brad, so good to have you with us today and welcome to the program. What's the latest? What's going on with all the mandates? Now, we've got some stuff coming up here, I believe in about 6 weeks, the first of the year, with the military, things like that. What's the latest?
Yeah, there's a number of deadlines that people in the military, people who work for the federal government are dealing with, medical professions and law enforcement. And, of course, private employers have their deadlines and ultimatums regarding flu vaccine, excuse me, as far as COVID-19 vaccine mandates. And those who wish to file for a religious exemption or a medical exemption, many of them are just scurrying about, Mike. They're wondering what to do, and they're fearful. Some are, you know, leaving their state and moving to a free state, or what I call a red state, like Texas and others. So it's there's a lot of paranoia, if you will, and panicking taking place. But the good news is that we at Pacific Justice Institute, we have on our website actually clear instruction as to exactly what employees are supposed to do to have a basically winning strategy for filing a religious exemption, what employers are supposed to do to prevent from being sued and unnecessary liabilities and accommodating. And then also those in the military, we have something for them, college students. And also for those who have children in public schools, like in states like California, where they're told that the children must be vaccinated all the way down to the age of 5, even if they're in a private school. Well, we've got that answer laid out as well. And that's the good news is that there is a response to this that for the most part is going to be successful in most cases. And people just need to take advantage of that for free on our website, pji.org, pji.org. And I do want to say one thing right up front. I know, Mike, that a lot of people have gotten these, you know, standardized forms in the mail. Some pastors got them via email from a law firm, and it has it all written out what the person believes, and all the person has to do, the employee has to do, is just print it out and sign it. Well, that's disaster. That's a total disaster. That doesn't prove sincerity of religious beliefs. As far as I'm concerned, it's borderline malpractice. So I encourage people not to use a standardized form, but to go to our website and follow the instruction on how they can prepare something themselves, express it themselves. It needs to maybe start out with their testimony, talk about their religious experience, how they've prayed in the past, sought God's direction and instruction, how they did the same with this, how maybe their body's the Lord's temple, and put in lots of scriptures, make it at least a couple pages long, and never cite the law, with the exception of laying claim to Title VII rights, and also don't get into the statistics and why the vaccine's bad. Just stay in that center column of a religious experience and scripture, and your willingness to wear a mask and be reasonable. And that's it in a nutshell. But there's more information on our website, pji.org.
Wonderful. And again, I can't really stress that enough. Do not use a form letter. That's a dead giveaway. It looks too automatic and it doesn't look heartfelt. And so again, if you go to pji.org, there for free, Brad's team provides for you the basic outline of what you need to use to have a religious, objection, to the COVID virus. I mean, yes, we all know it's not effective. Yes, we all know that it's not safe. Almost everyone I know now knows someone who's either died from the vaccination or has been severely maimed because of it. Even Colin Powell, being vaccinated, they said he died of COVID. And then they retracted and they said, well, it was because he had cancer and other issues. The point is he was vaccinated and still got COVID. See, they don't really read their own newspaper clippings, and that's a dangerous place to be, Brad, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. In fact, those vaccines that are out there right now, you know, from Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, I mean, they're very narrow in their scope. So when you have variants like the Delta and others, they're breaking through those vaccines, and people are getting really sick and people are dying. It's very narrow. The strongest, broadest, deepest immunity someone can have is someone who's actually had COVID. And of course, if anyone does have COVID, the instruction by the most reputable doctors out there is they immediately need to get an antiviral treatment. And there's a number of them out there. But that's what people need to do. You know, when I had COVID, I had Kaiser Permanente, and they just said, well, no, we just want you to come in so you can be tested. I said, you're going to give me an antivirals? And they go, no, you'll just go home and wear this, you know, and just, you know, buckle down and get through it. And I thought, really? I mean, really? And I went and talked to a private doctor who is very highly respected. He just shook his head and he says, that's outrageous. Put me on a Z-Pack and hydroxychloroquine, and others have been put on other antivirals. And I was able to get through it. But people need to have good medical counsel, seek multiple counsel, and they also need to assess their personal risk as to whether or not they need to have the vaccine or not. People who are young, healthy, it's actually more counterproductive. There's more risk that comes with taking the vaccine than not taking the vaccine statistically. So we need to protect our young people and our children. And it's very important that parents have their rights respected. We're protecting the rights of parents to not have their children vaccinated. They get that information on our website once again at pji.org.
Yeah, it's free. And again, it's for you. It's a great service, Brad. And I thank you for providing that for all those that call, all of our listeners as well. And I just want to say thank you. And with that, we'll go ahead and go to the phones. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call if you've got a question. We're going to go to Theodore. Hi and welcome.
Yeah. Sorry. I had to get the speaker off. Okay.
Okay.
Are you still there? Okay, good.
Yes, we are.
I heard you. Okay, I have a question. Now, everybody's saying they don't have any problem with the science of COVID, and that the shot is okay, that you can take it no matter what, and it's a bunch of squirrely people that are saying otherwise. For those that have blood clots and have had them because their life was filled with blood clots for like 10 years, and they have these blood thinners, Coumadin and warfarin and all these others, if they take blood clot maker, which they've proven that the Pfizer one can make blood clots in you, little bitty ones, but little bitty ones build up to one big one, and then they're called an aneurysm, and you're dead.
Exactly.
My question is, why is it okay to take something like that? And the other point that I have is, if they're made from baby embryos and you can't take a baby embryo because that's cannibalism according to scripture. And it's never been okay to be a cannibal. I mean, people were in the time of some of the kings, but they weren't okayed by God to be cannibals. And no. Solomon wasn't going to.
Brad, your thoughts on this. I think
First, let's deal with the cannibal issue, and I want to clear this up because many people are under the impression that bits and pieces of aborted babies, preborn babies or fetuses are in the vaccine, and it's not. They're not in the vaccine, but the strand, the DNA strand that is used for standardized for testing for processing. That did come from an aborted preborn baby about 48 years ago, and that's what's used. That strand is used in all kinds of drug testing. So that's not actually being used. Now, some people still have religious objections to using a drug that used something from someone that was murdered premeditatively, like a preborn baby. That's a separate argument. And as far as the blood clotting, J&J is also known for blood clotting causing that. I encourage you to work with your doctor on that. But vaccines have also, these vaccines have been attributed to causing blood clots. But you need to look at your own situation on that end, and in terms of making that decision in your risk element as well. You want to look at your age. You want to look at are you overweight? The more overweight you are, the higher the risk. The older you are, the higher the risk. Males have a higher risk than females, but females can still definitely die from it. And then pre-existing conditions like respiratory issues, like asthma. Have you had pneumonia before or several times before? Type 2 diabetes. These are all things that you need to assess for your risk element. And those who have high risk but still don't want to take the vaccine because for different reasons, they might want to bunker down, if you will, and wait for a much more conservative vaccine, a traditional vaccine called Novavax or Brilife. They're supposed to come out in the first quarter of next year, and those are just traditional vaccines. They don't mess with your RNA, your DNA. They don't, cause your immune system to be weakened and vulnerable. It's something else to take a look at. It's called Novavax, and also Brilife is another one I've heard that may be coming out. Brilife, I believe.
Theodore, hope that helps.
Thank you. And can a person get the paperwork to do the refusal, or do they just stick you with the needle no matter what when you're not when it's not a job situation?
Well, if it's not a job situation, I'm trying to think. I don't see you having to have the vaccine unless you want to go to some place, a restaurant. You're in a state that's oppressive, like California or Los Angeles County, where they're making it more and more difficult. New York, our attorneys in these different places are reporting that people can't go into restaurants. They can't go into some stores unless they have their vaccination ID card. That's most unfortunate. I know a lot of those people are just simply leaving and moving to free states. But in the interim, no one can force you to be vaccinated. The issue comes into play with regarding your job, and for those wanting to keep their job, or for parents wanting to protect their children who are in a state that's requiring it, like California. Just go to our website, pji.org, and you'll see the resources there. To help you, those in the military, college students, to help you on how to prepare a religious exemption request. Not a pre-done form, but it shows you structurally basically what you need to say. It needs to come from your heart. It needs to be experiential, your walk with God, your testimony with Scripture, and how you were called and led by the Holy Spirit or convicted by the Lord in His Word not to take this vaccine.
Hope that helps, Theodore, and stay on the line. We'll fix you up with a couple books, couple of DVDs for calling in today. Again, we want to make it clear. We're not telling anyone not to take the vaccination. We are saying that is your choice, it's not anybody's right to force you to do this. I think it's interesting, Brad, we talked about this before, about the pro-abortion gang. They hold up signs, my right, my body. Yet when it comes to vaccinations, it's not your right. It's not your body. Isn't it amazing the hypocrisy in that particular political party? It's amazing to me.
Yeah, because abortion is not about their body. It's about a preborn, innocent, helpless little human being about to be murdered. So it doesn't make sense when they're talking about abortion. They say, my right, my body. Well, no one has a right to murder. You know, if a baby is handcuffed to your arm and you have it there for 9 months, it may be an inconvenience. You may not have asked for it, but you have no right to cut off the arm of that baby and kill that baby. Right to life always supersedes constitutionally other rights, like an individual's right to their, you know, whatever, their body, if you will. But here we're dealing with a classic where it is arguably a Fourth Amendment violation of your personhood, invasion of your personhood by the government. And we're talking about them invading someone's body with something that has caused the deaths of at least over 16,000 Americans already, these vaccines.
The ones we know.
Yeah, that we know of. We know this is according to the Federal Viral Register, the VAER. And then we also know that over 700,000 reports have been made of people that have had serious to permanent long-term damage an injury because of these vaccines. So a rational, reasonable person should look at this and make an intelligent decision for themselves. They shouldn't be subject to being permanently injured or killed because of a government mandate that gives them no choice. That is outrageous, and everyone that appreciates civil liberties, irrespective of their opinion on the vaccines, should be lock arms on this one. This is a real important civil liberties issue.
Yeah, that's a staggering number, Brad. 700,000. That's almost a million people have had some permanent or violent reaction to this. This is unheard of. This isn't a tetanus shot. This isn't a smallpox vaccination. This is something that literally hijacks your immune system and turns it into something else. And very, very scary stuff when it comes down to it. Theodore, stay online. We'll get you taken care of. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Jeff, Redding, California. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, hi.
Hey, my son's 18, just graduated high school. And as a result, he's aged out of his youth group, and the local church doesn't have a young man's group. So he and his friends are thinking about putting together their own Bible study.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him, and I said, well, what do you guys want to study? And their concern is, how can we be men? How can we be Christian men? And I was just wondering if you guys can recommend a good study guide for these kids here to, you know, help them grow up and be adults.
Yeah. Brad, your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking more of younger kids, like Wild at Heart is a great for raising up a boy, or Dobson's book, Bringing Up Boys, come to my mind. There is a book by Dr. Gene Getz called Measure of a Man. It's a classic by Dr. Gene Getz, Measure of a Man. I've heard great things about that, and I'm sure there's other resources, perhaps by Pastor Chuck Smith and others. Perhaps Pastor Mike, you might have some more suggestions.
Yeah, there's a book by Mike Fabara's Raising Men, Not Boys. Very, very good book. I would highly recommend it. His program comes on right before To Every Man an Answer, so you can get all the particulars how to contact him. But it's Raising Men, Not Boys. Another really good book is Kill the Noise. That's the name of the book, Kill the Noise, by Ryan Reese, Raul Reese's son, and the things he went through before he really came to a solid relationship with God. Very good book. And one other book I really like, and it's by Danny Lehman, who was the head of the Hawaii YWAM team here for many, many years. Danny Lehman called Clues, How Can We Know? And it's a great book. Clues, How Can We Know? If you stay online, we can certainly direct you to how to pick those up. By the way, Danny Lehman will be sharing at Calvary Chapel in Hilo, Hawaii, this Sunday at 9 o'clock. Danny Lehman will be here. And so we look forward to seeing Danny. Always a blessing to hear him speak. Many, many years of being a pastor, many, many years of guiding young people. And I believe that's why Clues, How Can We Know, is such an effective book. And really, to answer your question, Jeff, because again, that is goes back to your foundation. One of the things that if you don't have a good foundation, and many kids coming out of high school don't, the colleges target the foundational principles of Christianity to destroy them, whether it be through evolution. There's so many different things that they'll use, relativism, all these different things. And I believe unless you're rooted and grounded, you know not only what you believe, but most important, why you believe it, not just because my church believes it or my pastor said that, but you know why you came to those conclusions. Clues, How Can We Know, Danny Lehman, great book. And if you want to know more about that, stay in line. We might even have some there that we can fix you up with, Jeff. But again, those would be really good. Raising Men, Not Boys, Mike Fabares. The next one is Kill the Noise by Ryan Reese. And the third one is Clues, How Can We Know by Danny Lehman. Those three are highly recommended, and I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much.
Jeff, I'll send you some books and some DVDs as well that can start off this young people's thing. One of them is called Evolution Versus God, and certainly to get a bunch of freshmen in college together and watch this, it's going to really encourage them, and also God of Wonders. Both of those are excellent to really bolster a person's faith. Stay in line. We'll get those out to you. God bless you. Let's go to Edward in California. Hi, welcome.
Hello, pastors. God bless both of you. I wanted to send out a shout out to Pastor Daryl Skinner in Oahu. Aloha nui loa to you, Daryl. I love you and miss you. And I wanted to ask Pastor Mike, I just got rid of cable, which was one of the best things I'd ever done, and I switched to Xfinity streaming, and now I'm actually literally a member of your church, and I can watch you on YouTube. It's great.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, that's great. Uh-huh.
I love it. And I was watching, and I'm paying a third of what I was paying that filthy, corrupt media that Donald President Trump was telling us was corrupt. I'm not giving them a penny of my money or an ounce of my energy. I'm giving it to God. I'm going to become a tower keeper now because of my savings on this. And
wonderful.
You were just talking this last Sunday about, you know, how we shouldn't worship. Jesus spoke about, you know, the engraven images and things like that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I come from a heavy, my mom was really a Catholic big time. They used to slap my left hand because I was born left-handed. And then all she did was curse me for not getting my education all my life because she ruined it. It affected me. I can't read right because it goes in upside down and backwards. I was wired left-handed. God made me that way. But they changed me to right because they said lefties were weirdos.
No, many, many very creative people are left-handed. Now, Brad, I've never asked you, are you right-handed or left-handed? The first time we've ever discussed this, probably on public radio ever, are you right-handed or left-handed?
That's a very deep personal question. No, I'm right-handed.
You're right-handed. So am I. But you know, I have many friends that are left-handed and very creative people. So
yes, they are. I was going to say people who are left-handed actually have some interesting advantages because the cerebellum is actually sort of twisted at the base, and which makes the brain much more flexible. Someone who's right-handed, it's much more defined what the left part of the brain does, the right part of the brain does. But people who are left-handed have a lot more elasticity, and their brains can adapt better from a head injury and more creative and some of our greatest scientists were left-handed.
Yeah. So, and it drives pitchers crazy. Anyway, I hope that answers Edward. Thank you so much for the shout out. And, did you have a particular question?
The question I had was, seeing as I was from a heavy Catholic family and you were talking about, you know, we shouldn't have these engraven images. Is it wrong
yes.
for me to have kept all the crucifixes that my mom had? I mean, I've got them in every drawer in my room.
Well, the thing with the crucifix, and usually in the Catholic belief system, Jesus is still on the cross. Yes, it's true. Jesus did die for our sins. But here's what's important. He rose, and that cross is empty. And so when I look at a cross without an image, a clay carved or whatever it is, image of Jesus on it, we got to remember, we serve a risen Savior. Many, many people have came into this world, and they've died. Only one died and lived, and that's Jesus. And so I think the idea of when we have to have something made for men's hands to remind us of the presence of God, I think we limit the majesty of God to that image. I would rather look at God's creation and realize that God is even much bigger than that, than to say, oh, this is God. And this is one of the things I think is so sad in idol worship in other religions, which can also transcend into Christianity as well with our various icons and things. But those things do not represent God to me. God is worshiped in spirit and in truth, and not after a carved image, a welded chunk of metal made with men's hands. And is it wrong to have a cross in your house? No. But it's like anything. I know people who worship the Bible. They don't know the author of the Bible. The Pharisees worship the Word. They never knew the author, and that's why they killed Christ. But they should have known they couldn't keep a good man down. We're coming up on a break, everyone. I hope that answers it for you. Edward, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. When we come back, Brad and myself, we're going to answer a whole lot of phone calls. We don't want you to go away. And we'll be back for more right after this.
Did you know that at just 40 days, a mom can hear her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound? The Ministry of Preborn introduces moms in crisis to their preborn baby because the story of life begins at conception.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
When an expectant mother meets her baby on ultrasound, she is 80% more likely to choose life. Preborn clinics are the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and have rescued over 169,000 babies' lives. To learn how you can help rescue a baby's life, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. A full station list is available through csnradio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus. And, real quickly, Brad, once again, you know, so many people with this whole COVID thing, especially with these forced mandates coming up, I mean, where people are going to lose their job. One report is that if in the military, if you don't take the vaccine, you will get a dishonorable discharge. And so what is your take on that? And then we're going to go back to the phones.
It's outrageous, to say the least. And if we had someone different in the White House as commander in chief, like the predecessor, that would not be happening. I find it immoral to treat those who've sacrificed so much to lay down their lives potentially for our freedoms and liberties, to force them that we know medically, statistically, they don't need to have a vaccine, and to force them to have something like that and assume the risks, potential long-term risks and ramifications for those who are young and healthy is inhumane. And it's also, I believe, a violation of their fundamental rights. Their rights, unfortunately, as a matter of case law, are limited because there's not Title VII there to protect them like other employees are protected by Title VII. Even the First Amendment, the Free Exercise Clause, is somewhat limited in its application to people in the military regarding the free exercise of religion. So they have to use the guidelines in their particular branch of the military. We have that laid out very clearly on our website, pji.org. We've also have an attorney on staff who has expertise dealing with the military and the process. So they should never hesitate to contact us and go to our website, pji.org.
Hope that helps for everybody again, because again, we're up against something here that is very, very, very treacherous, I believe. And, you know, it's interesting. They're forcing our border agents on the southern border to be vaccinated. Yet the hundreds of thousands of illegals pouring across our border do not have to be vaccinated. America has declared war on its own people. Not on people outside of America that pour across our border, but America has declared war on its own, whether the military or even that of government workers. Scary stuff in the world we're in today. Let's go back to the phones. We have Mike on the line in Hawaii. Aloha. Mike, are you there? We're looking for Mike. Okay, well, Mike, call us back, and we're going to go to Bo in Dallas, Texas.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I love your show. God really has given you guys a gift of wisdom.
Well, how may we help? God gets the glory.
Yes.
Yes. So I wish I had a really good vaccine question for this show, but that's a really good subject today. But my question I've been wanting to ask you guys is about Psalms in the Bible. So, you know how in the Bible we have like 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, and then even in the New Testament. And I know Psalms is supposed to be 5 books. So why isn't there a first Psalm, second Psalm, third Psalm, and so on? And especially, I would love it because instead of having 66 books of the Bible, we would have 70, which for me is a much better number. But I don't know if that really has anything to do, if it would change something in the way the Bible is studied. The Hebrew is supposed to have a numerical meaning for their letters and words also. And so, I don't know, I was kind of interested in knowing why they did it that way.
Okay, Brad, your thoughts?
I don't know. it's an interesting question. The Book of Psalms is quite large, as far as the history behind that and why it's not broken up, as you said, I can't help you on that one. Maybe Pastor Mike can.
Yeah, I believe that they did that out of convenience sake. And we do know that there were several other ways of looking at things. You had, as you said, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And in some Bibles, it's 1st and 2nd Kings, and then 3rd and 4th Kings in place of the Chronicles. So we realize that when they compiled the scriptures back then, I think out of convenience, they just put all of those together in the one book in Psalms, and that's why we have this incredible book, not only written by David and Asaph, but other writers as well. Hope that helps.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you very much.
Well, God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. And again, stay in line. We'll send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Let's go ahead and go to Joe in Bend, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
How may we help?
I'm just going to summarize why I have my question. So this year's been like, I guess I can only describe it as like a revival. Me and my wife have been diving a lot farther into the Bible, and we just recently started a Bible study with my sister and her husband. And so we're in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 5. And so each time we're just going chapter by chapter, and I just write like a lot of notes down before we all meet. And I've been writing down what I'm taking from this, and I know that the way I feel is he took Ananias and Sapphira to be with him since they're believers, but he couldn't have them here, obviously, because they were going to corrupt the church. And then it led me to writing down Proverbs 23:13, how he's just being our good father and disciplining us. And then it led me to how he's a perfect judge, and I just started listing like so many different places in the Bible. And then I was writing down something, and I realized I actually don't have a good answer for what my understanding is I know Jesus Christ is judging the church, but I came to Revelation 20:11 through 12, and I was not sure if that's God the Father judging, or if that's Jesus, or if it's just like Elohim, like the whole triune God.
Well, we know the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, so it's very possible that they will set before Elohim, they'll set before God on that great day of judgment when all their works have come to full fruition. And again, this is why the great white throne judgment is at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Just because a person dies today that's evil doesn't stop the evilness that they have put into motion. And their evil works will follow them. That's why it's so important to be born again, because God not only forgives our past, our present, and as Jesus said, if we abide in him, our future as well. So important. So when we realize that our works follow us as well as believers, look at the obedience the Apostle Paul had in writing to the churches. And today we still glean information off of that obedience that he did to make sure that doctrine represents who God is in the churches today. But remember, just because people like Darwin are dead, their lie, people that started cults, their lie continues to permeate into millions and millions of people's lives. Man, how hot is that hell for that judgment? So yeah. Your thoughts, Brad?
One thing that's, I think it's important in that scripture is for us, it's a reminder to us, that the God we worship isn't just some benevolent Santa Claus that is a nice guy who, has no righteousness. No, God is a righteous God, a holy God. And there is an accountability, as a believer. Our sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb, and he will wipe the tears from our eyes. But I think there is, for believers, there will be a deep appreciation for the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness, much greater at that time when we're with the Lord than even where we are now. But when you look at for non-believers, what they're going to face, it's a real judgment. It's an actual judgment, and it's you know, the eternity after that is of course very you know, very dark, but at the same time, just the judgment itself is something that all of us should take to heart, especially when we're talking about non-believers and what they're going to be facing.
Yeah, and again, there's no wiggle room. There's not going to be a public opinion on whether what we should do with this person. It's all written down. You say, well, yes, but what book? How do we know what the laws are that God's going to judge the world by? It's called the Bible.
Right.
You see, John 3:16 is the beginning of our Christian experience. For many people, that's the end, but it's not. It's only the beginning. Once we become born again, God, via that invisible Holy Spirit, begins to train us throughout and what we're going to be doing for him forever. And I've told people, everybody living today is determining what position you're going to hold in eternity forever, and how important it is that every day is so valuable that we're about our Father's business. But if you don't know how God's going to judge the world someday, because maybe you've never read the Bible, going to a church that never teaches the Bible, how sad, because you're not going to know what your eternal, or at least for the 1,000-year reign of Christ, is going to be to execute righteousness on this earth. So I believe it's really important that all of us really understand. And right now we're going through the book of Exodus and we're looking at some of the laws, and people go, oh, it's boring. Let's talk about motivational speaking and how to climb to the top and, you know, slip Jesus in your pocket and really, you know, really rock their world. No, really, when we start looking at what the Bible really says, it's how God's going to judge the world someday. Again, even in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1 tells you how God's going to judge the world someday. Well, I'm cool, you're cool, you know, let's all groove together in Jesus. Well, you better spend a little more time reading the Bible. Pastors, you better spend a little more time teaching your congregation the Bible. Because if you don't, they're not going to know how to navigate. They don't even know who to vote for in an election. Because, well, you know, is abortion really all that bad? You know, is all these things going on in our society, is it really all that bad? They don't know. They have no foundation. But if you teach people God's word, it's going to make a difference. Brad, any last thoughts? You're an attorney. You know these things.
Pastors need to be preaching from the word. And if people hear from the word, they study the word, and then they apply that to their lives, it would be a major game changer for this country in so many ways. You know, we often call for revival. Revival starts with the church and the followers of Christ taking their faith seriously and being a shining light amidst the darkness. That's a precept for revival and for us to take our faith seriously, our walk with the Lord seriously, and to see what happens in that regard. And so I think that what you said is absolutely right. We need to be here preaching from the word. You know, I preach at a lot of churches, and I preach expository, which is verse by verse. Yeah. And it's so encouraging. Two Sundays ago, I preached at a Calvary Chapel in Las Vegas. We had 12 hands raised to receive Christ at the end. The word is powerful, and I encourage people to make that a part of their life. But I will say one qualifier. And I think you'll agree with this, Pastor Mike, is that we need to be careful not to be religious about reading the word. So it's like ritualistic, like, oh, I've got to quickly read my Bible, da 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 da. And God sees right through that. He wants to communicate. He wants a relationship. He wants us to listen. And sometimes I think it's better if we don't have time to read through the whole chapter because we didn't plan properly. Read just maybe a few verses and meditate on those and be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because we have to have that for the Bible to penetrate, not just to be doing a ritual as appeasement, if you will. That's not the kind of relationship God wants to have with us as believers.
Yeah, God wants to energize His Word, the Bible, with His Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And if it's not energized, it reads like a phone book. People go, oh, the Bible's boring. Well, I agree. If the Holy Spirit hasn't caused it to come alive, then yeah, it's non-relevant, because it's by the Spirit of God wrote it. It's the Spirit of God that causes it to go into our hearts. And so important in the days we're in. Joe, hope that helps.
It does. Something you guys brought up. Is it all right if I ask a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
Fast? I've been feeling the Holy Spirit really a lot this year, and it's been making me think, because I've got three friends that just have been on my heart more lately, and two of them, I believe they've fallen away, and one I don't believe has ever had faith. Is there like a suggestion of how to maybe get something started with them?
Yes, or... I'll send you the DVDs and that I give everybody. Those are great. You might just give it to them, God of Wonder, say, hey, I got this. Watch this. Tell me what you think. And, invite them over, get a pizza and watch it with them. But just anything that will spur that. It is not a talking head. It's done like National Geographic. It's how everything has to have a design. And the idea that everything that we see, whether it's our world, the cosmos, the planets, the moons, all these things, just is random happenstance. How these moons all magically got caught in the orbits of Jupiter and, you know, our moon around Earth. It is absolutely impossible. It's impossible. It had to be created. And this is one of the things that this goes into. It takes more faith to not believe than it does to believe. And so I'll get those out to you. I know they'll be a blessing, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Joe, those will help, and review them yourself. If you go to Evolution versus God, hit special features. There's another group of movies in there you can watch as well. Let's go to Kim, Eagle, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I was got a question for Brad. You know, I'm a federal worker, and I put in my religious accommodation. We're still waiting for a response back, but there's a lot of lawsuits out there, and doesn't seem that it's been very favorable for the employees. And I was just wondering, do you know if there's any other suits out there that we should be paying attention to, and you know, just some encouragement not to lose hope here.
Yeah, definitely don't lose hope. I will tell you right now that we at Pacific Justice Institute, we have lawsuits all across the country. I know others have lawsuits. Individual lawyers have lawsuits. I talked with half a dozen today who thought they were going it alone. I said, you don't have to go it alone. We'll work with you. We'll help you. So don't be discouraged. We see victories. We see successes. And I'm somewhat optimistic that at the end of the day, we will see people vindicated. It's just, it's not going to happen overnight, and people need to understand that. It's sometimes it takes time to do that. But go to our website, and if you have any doubts at all about what you filed and whether or not it was the right thing, you might want to file a supplement request for a religious exemption after you go to our website, pji.org, and take a look at what our recommendations are.
Hope that helps, Kim.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Stay in line if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to John in Virginia. Hi, welcome.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate your program, and especially you, Mike, and Brad. What God my is concern good. Is, we've got the mandate that goes against the Constitution of the United States, but it also does it not go against the Nuremberg Code in 1947, and the Declaration of Geneva in 1948, and the Declaration of Helsinki that I believe was, 1967. So how are they getting away with, you know, it's not a vaccine, it's a drug. It's still in the experimental stage, which America is part of the experiment.
Yeah, no, there's no long-term observation of this drug. And for it to be FDA approved, it was a pencil whip. It was not carried out the way, according to the FDA, drugs are supposed to be approved. There was no long-term observation for 10 years, all these different issues. It's really a tragedy. And America's paying the price. As you mentioned earlier, Brad, over 700,000 people have had permanent damage to the bodies. Everybody I know somebody who got the vaccine that either died or is damaged from it. Now, that's a lot more than, oh, and it's very minimal. No, it's not minimal. It's major. And, your thoughts?
It is major what we're talking about here, and it's very widespread. And the fact that the media has avoided it and allowed it not to even be disclosed. But the Federal Register, not my register, the government's own register with the CDC, it's all on record there. So fortunately, they haven't hidden that, but it has been suppressed in terms of its media exposure. And I think that as we look forward, we're going to need to understand that we have to be strategic. So you mentioned the Nuremberg rule, the Helsinki, and I think that, principally you're right. I think those are bona fide arguments. These are experimental drugs, and therefore arguably should not be forced upon people pursuant to what you just mentioned. I don't know if our courts are going to apply that. I think it's something that the Supreme Court might, in the end of the day, reference that and apply that to a decision. But the core of a decision is going to be the Constitution and or federal statutory rights like Title VII of the Civil Rights Act or the American with Disabilities Act, which is a federal law. So I think that in the end is going to be what is going to move the court in the right direction, although I would not be surprised if they didn't reference those very important historic federal treaties or international treaties.
Hope that helps, John.
Well, one of the other things, to my understanding, as far as the research I've done, the actual vaccine, so-called, that they're injecting into Americans is not FDA approved.
Well, they say it is. It wasn't up to about 2 months ago, but then they magically made it because nobody thought that it was going to be approved because it has to go through the proper FDA channels. All abandoned, all circumvented, and all of a sudden, whammo, here it is, all approved. Brad, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, they completely skirted the whole process that they've been using for decades, which is you test something. You have it for a period of time. Usually it takes at least several years. And so they decided to go ahead and approve it as an emergency drug, not fully, it's experimental emergency. Okay, I get that. But to approve it with actually just rubber stamp approve it outright, that's a whole nother question. And I think it's very worrisome in terms of our long-term trust of the FDA and the CDC. It's very disturbing. I think the caller has this one right in terms of the fact that protocol is not being followed. And in essence, they're trying to mandate something that's not proven to be given and injected our little five-year-old boys and girls. It's makes no sense to our young, healthy men and women to force them to have an injection of something that statistically is more riskier for them to have than not to have. That doesn't make sense. They say, well, it's for the common good. Well, the common good, everyone in America has the ability to have the vaccine. And if the vaccine is that great and that strong, which supposedly they say it is, then why do other people need to be vaccinated? It's like saying, you need to wear a coat because it's cold and your neighbor may catch a cold if you don't wear a coat. Well, no, the neighbor wears the coat and they're the ones that benefit. Even the herd immunity argument is bogus because there's a 5% attrition with those who have the vaccine. It's not a traditional vaccine. You don't have the traditional herd immunity. So even that argument fails. It's unfortunate. The very credible doctors, Dr. McAuliffe of Baylor Medical, head of the coronary division, the epidemiologist, professor of Harvard Medical School, and many others have been very outspoken about this, and it's important for us to listen to all the inputs in making our decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's 100% irreversible, and that's right. The big problem that we find with this. There was over 500 hospital workers, nurses, and doctors that were going to be terminated if they didn't take the vaccine, and they held a sign up, and they said, COVID, 99% survivable, vaccine, 100% irreversible. You make your decisions. Be wise in these days.
Yes.
Well, I hope to see everybody. If you're in the Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, I'll be speaking there next Sunday, not this Sunday morning, but next Sunday morning. Look forward to seeing all of you then. And thanks, Brad, for being on PacificJusticeInstitute.org. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Everyman and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Everyman and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Everyman and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.